Great morning, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Thank God for Monday. I'm Brother Greg Cellini of the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn and the Office of Mission, Ministry, and Interfaith Dialogue at St. Francis College in beautiful Brooklyn, New York. My great pleasure to be back with you again today. The purpose of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to inspire you, our audience, to take personal responsibility for your professional satisfaction. We want to provide you hope, healing, peace in these unprecedented, turbulent, uncertain times. Motivate yourself to search deep inside yourself in the quest for fulfillment. Listeners, it's really up to you as how to utilize the information we provide today. Take full accountability for the decisions you make and a resulting outcome. Now, one of the goals of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to introduce role models of people who take very bold steps in their work lives. This is a very special time in our workplace and world when confidence has never been more critical. And as such, we are honored today to have with us a very, very special guest. Her name is Selina Rezvani. Selina is a recognized consultant and speaker on leadership. She has coached and taught some of the brightest minds in business, addressing audiences at many top organizations, including Microsoft, the World Bank, Under Armour, Pfizer, and even Harvard University. Selina is also an author. Her latest book is entitled Quick Confidence, Be Authentic, Boost Connections, and Make Bold Bets on Yourself. Great morning and welcome to Thank God for Monday, Selina.
Thank you so much for having me, Greg, and just for your wonderful show that I really appreciate.
The honor is all ours. Kindly share with the listeners and me from what city and state you're speaking from this morning, please.
Sure. I am joining you from sunny Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
You just made this host and a lot of listeners very jealous. The city of champions these days, certainly, no doubt about that. With all that great cheesesteak down there as well.
Yes.
Sadly, we've only got 30 minutes. We could talk for hours about your amazing background, this incredible book. We're jumping right now into the deep end of the pool. Selina, in your experience, what's the number one thing? Is there a number one thing that really confident people have in common? Help us out, please.
Yes, there is something that confident people have in common. And I've coached and researched and trained thousands of professionals. And one of the foundational things, Greg, is confidence comes from keeping the promises you make to yourself. Think about it, right? It feels good if you make a promise to a friend or a coworker. And you make good on that promise. You say, here's your sweatshirt back. Thank you so much. Or, here's the $5 I borrowed. We get a little ego cookie, a feel good when we deliver and we walk the talk. And unfortunately, the reverse happens when we break a promise. It causes this kind of dissonance, this discomfort inside. And the issue here is when we start doing that to ourselves, when we say, hey, I'm going to go for that exciting job opportunity, or I'm going to write that article once and for all, or I'm going to reach out to Greg to see if he's open to a networking meeting, and we don't do it.
Oh.
We kind of start to look at ourselves like that flaky coworker that we can't rely on. So I recommend to build that lasting confidence, be kind of protective, a little bit selective about the promises you make to yourself. Maybe shrink the number that you make to yourself. Really say, is there a 70% chance I can follow through on this? Because you want to collect those wins. You want to give yourself a chance to succeed. You don't want to feel like, oh, I always come up short.
Wow, that is incredible advice. Now, let's hypothetically say, Selena, that someone is at a networking event. They want to feel more confident. Are there a couple of quick, simple steps to do? So maybe you're not a wallflower.
One of them is kind of acutely named dog code, what I call dog code.
Dog code.
Dog code. I have an almost 2-year-old puppy, and boy, is she good at this. Her name is Midnight. Somebody comes to the house, just like a lot of dogs. What's the first thing she does? She doesn't sit in the corner and overthink it. She doesn't talk to her friends first. She goes right up to the person and greets them. And there's something I think, Greg, we can all take from that, which is, what if we were to make it a habit to initiate contact? So we didn't say to ourselves like, oh, there's John. Oh, he looks kind of busy. Maybe later I might get around to saying hello. Or, oh, there's a great Jane. I wish she would come up to me. It skips that overthinking step and it has you go right up to that person you have that initial inclination to connect with and just break the seal socially, and so you don't have to do some amazing acrobatics. It's really just about warmly, genuinely making that connection. They will remember you for it. And it's really empowering when we habituate this. Initiating interactions, it can double our social confidence.
It's so interesting. Just in that few minutes alone that you answered that, you mentioned the word connection multiple times. It seems connection is a really important part of confidence.
Yeah, it really is. And I think through the pandemic, haven't we all felt at times that isolation and the kind of pain and discomfort as a human of being too isolated. So I want to reassure listeners, if you're feeling rusty at this, not entirely confident, that is so okay. You're really not alone. But we do need each other. And when we can put ourselves out there and be the first to make that little spark of a connection. Once again, people are going to remember us for it, appreciate it, and we're likely to be a lot, richer off for it in terms of those deeper relationships.
No doubt about that. Now, this is a very interesting phenomenon, if you will. It seems that for so many of us, we can talk about our job for minutes on end. Yet if someone says, let's do a round of introductions, we cringe. What do you recommend here, please, Selena, to really regain our confidence? Give that great intro.
Yeah, well, I have so been there, right, with other people. And I think part of the issue with the pressure on introductions is we expect ourselves to somehow convey everything in 90 seconds or something. And that's just not possible for most of us. So I say shrink the size of your goal once again and try to keep it to, assuming you're maybe at a networking event, three simple elements. So I'm talking about your name, your title, and then here's the really important one, a short little phrase that translates what you do into non-jargony language, like human speak, something that a smart eighth grader would understand. And I think that's really important because some of us do very technical or niche specialized things. And what happens is, and I'll give you an example in a second, when you do that, you kind of open the door for people to come in to ask you questions, like follow-up questions. So I think point A is don't try to convey everything in the world about yourself. Keep it short to that name, title, and translating it into the impact you make. So for me, it might be I'm Selena Rezvani. I'm a confidence author and coach, and I teach people how to speak up and make bolder choices at work. For somebody else, like maybe a director of operations, it might be something very different. I'm Trevor Miller. I'm a director of operations. What that really means is that I keep the company running as efficiently as possible. It's like, thank you for explaining that to me, you know?
Yeah, it's even terms because, or thank God for my listeners, I have a very limited vocabulary, but even I could understand those two examples. So that you put it in language, everybody can understand. And then, as you said, that creates the dialogue.
Exactly. And it, you know, I don't think any of us like to feel ignorant. But sometimes if I'm talking to somebody who does really fancy tech work that I can't even begin to unpack, boy, do I appreciate it when they connect some simple dots for me. It makes me feel smarter that they translated it maybe to lay language that all of us can understand.
No doubt about that, certainly. Now, I don't know if this is something you've actually coined or maybe even a trademark, but you talk about something called Halloween confidence. I'd never heard of this. I don't know about the listeners. Share, please, with us. What is this? How do we harness confidence with our clothing, please?
Yeah, well, there's this really cool study, Greg, that was conducted at Northwestern. And researchers found that when their subjects wore a white lab coat, kind of like a doctor or scientist would wear, those subjects actually performed better on tests that measured attention span and accuracy, even attentiveness. And part of that is because we associate those qualities with people who wear white lab coats, you know, that they're attentive, conscientious, etc. The whole point, the big punchline here is we tend to play the part of the clothes we're wearing. You know, so if an outfit kind of empowers us, we're more likely to take bold actions. On the other hand, if it kind of sends the message like keep away, you know, don't come too close, you know, we might feel more down, more low in terms of our energy. So suddenly it's becoming very clear why I felt so fierce in my Wonder Woman costume as a little kid, you know, like I wasn't just wearing that. I was her. I felt, as far as I was concerned, I was her. And look, the nice thing is we can use this to our advantage, you know, so maybe listeners can think to themselves, when was a time I felt really like the best version of myself, really fierce, confident, wonderful. Maybe it had to do with the comfort of what you were wearing, the cut, the color. I happen to love really bright color because it makes me feel more optimistic, bolder. But maybe for you, it's the opposite, calm color. You know, it could be different things. The idea here is try to think about what that is for you in the big moments where it matters most. And try to replicate that main premise. Maybe you're going to come up with three or four outfits that hit that note that makes you feel really good. And you'll have that little set of power outfits for the moments you need it.
Oh, what great advice. It's ironic because as a Franciscan brother of Brooklyn, we wear the holy habit of St. Francis. And I must tell you that my walk between our worldwide headquarters where I live and our college is about 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how many people come up to me during that period of time seeing this habit, especially people from other countries, because the Franciscans are all over the world.
Right.
And many times they feel safe in the presence of Franciscans. So it's really ironic, but I have to say that when I'm wearing the habit and I'm walking to and from the college, I feel more confident as a result, certainly.
And that's wonderful. I love that.
Thank you. The light bulb just went on there. So thank you for sharing. That's really amazing, this Halloween confidence. Now, we could shift gears just a bit, because I know I have challenged with this, and I'm sure our listeners may as well. You say lots of us are just plain lousy at taking compliments. What do you suggest is a better way to handle praise? Help us out here, please, Selena.
This can hurt our confidence if we're too self-deprecating. You know, there's an old joke in the comedy world, or a saying, I should say, and it is, you know, the only safe joke to make is the one at your own expense.
Oh, I never heard that. Wow.
It's the only one that maybe people will universally laugh at and not take issue with, right? And that may be true to a degree in comedy, but look, there's a problem when we instinctively deflect praise like we're Teflon coated. Your strengths are just as important for you to know about as your weaker points. So when someone says, hey, great job on that episode or show or the report, you don't want to say, oh, it was nothing, or, oh, anyone would have done it. And part of the reason for that is, you know, it becomes a little too believable for you that it really was nothing.
Oh, wow.
You know, you answer like that. So one of the pieces of advice I have for individuals is, you know, turn towards that person, like let yourself embrace the compliment. And I like to add something to it. You know, thank you so much. I'm thrilled with how the report came out too. Or thank you so much, Greg. That means a lot to hear from you.
Oh, that's beautiful. That really, thank you for that. Yeah, that's a much better way. And I'm going to immediately start hailing praise when someone does come up to me that way. Now, I'm curious because sometimes in a conversation, at a meeting, we feel we're interrupted, we're talked over, we're not heard. How do we get the confidence to reinsert ourselves back into those situations, please, Selena?
This is tricky, isn't it? And maybe even more so for those of us in the workplace, people who are introverted, who may not maybe be comfortable or used to elbowing their way verbally into the conversation, you know? So one technique you can use is to come in one decibel higher, louder than the current volume of the conversation. Maybe you've just been cut off, or maybe it's the third time you've been cut off in this conversation. It's subtle. So it's not yelling, mind you, you know, it's a subtle change. But if the people in the room were talking at a 6 out of 10, for example, and you totally got talked over, you re-enter the conversation at a 7 out of 10. And that subtle change kind of tells the room, it's time to listen. You know, I have something to say. And of course, the other thing we can all do as just aware individuals and allies is also call it out when we see someone else cut off or talked over. You know, hey, that's the third time Rachel's been cut off. I'd really like to hear the rest of her idea.
Two brilliant pieces of advice there. And that's very interesting. The one about just getting a little bit louder, certainly. And any of us can do that. And the other thing is also, we can also do the coming together to say, hey, let time out here. As you say, you know, Selena's been cut off two or three. I want to hear what she has. I'm really interested.
Yes.
Wow, that's is great.
Because it may feel like a small action on the part of the person calling out, like a small one sentence in their whole life, right? That they're saying out loud, but it is not small to the receiver. You know, to the person you're shining the spotlight back on, it's not small to them. So may all of us do that for others.
No doubt about that. Yeah, if I saw correctly in the book, you're a firm believer in affirmations. Share with us, Selena, please. Why do these make a difference? And are there any you might even personally use?
Yes, I believe these make such a difference in our mindset, especially our belief system. And the way I like to use affirmations is not general platitudes as much. For me, those are less effective. And for my clients I coach, but really to come up with a mantra or affirmation that speaks directly to an insecurity you may have. You know, so maybe if you're interviewing for a job and it's a big highfalutin company, or it's lots of executives, maybe you're feeling a little bit nervous about that, questioning your place, you might say something to yourself like, I 400% belong here. Or I earned my place here as much as anyone. I find when we can identify that main insecurity and speak right directly to that with an affirmation, boy, does that feel like a salve. And it can really change our outlook. I continue to use those to this day myself.
Wow, that is amazing. So you're in the middle of a situation and you may not be feeling as confident as you need to be, but one or two of those affirmations placed correctly within yourself can make the whole difference between getting that dream job and not getting it.
Yes, yes. And I know we talked about dogs earlier. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about cats for a second. But one other affirmation I love kind of reminds me of cats, and it's for those folks who are afraid to make a mistake. This is something I hear a lot. You know, what's so scary to you about that job interview? You know, I might say, like, think about it. It's a mutual fit meeting is really what it is. But the person will often say, I'm so afraid to make a mistake. One of the things I like to share with them is this affirmation. If I make a wrong step, I can right myself. Just like a cat has a righting reflex, you know, and land on all four feet somehow, miraculously, beautifully.
Oh,
so can
goodness.
We. So can we. It's okay if you make a mistake, you word something oddly. You can go back later and say it in a better way, in a clearer way. You can write yourself.
I don't know about you, Selena, but I've never participated in an interview, either as an interviewee or an interviewer, where it went perfect.
That is such a good point. And it's really liberating to hear somebody as successful as you say that. It means a lot, I think, to be reminded of that fact that you get a little permission slip that you do not need to be sleek, effortlessly perfect, you know, polished and cool in every moment.
Just not reality, no question. Selena, we could talk all day. Believe it or not, we've only got about 8 minutes left. I've got some important questions to still get to ask to you. And this is one I don't want to ask, but I have to ask if you don't mind. How do you summon confidence to deal with invasive or out of bounds questions at work? It appears these are still going on, such as, when are you getting married? Why do you keep taking time off? Help us out here with these, please.
Yeah, this is one of those cringy things where sometimes we're asked to share things about our personal lives that we just don't want to. We might have a boundary, and I fully support people having boundaries. The tricky thing is what's normal and feels good for you might be different than what feels good for me. So we have to be really good at making that fence around our boundary and standing up for ourselves if someone's crossed it. So one of the ways I like to do that with an out of bounds question, like, why are you going to so many doctor appointments? Or what exactly are you going to do on your personal day? You know, is respond with a question. And so that's a little counterintuitive because some of us feel pressure to give an answer.
Sure.
But you might, you know, do it a little bit with humor and a little bit cheekily. Like, wouldn't you like to know? Something like that. But it's a little way of not, you know, infringing on your own boundary, honoring that maybe you don't want to reveal that information, but putting the focus back on them. You know, maybe it's even saying if you needed to be a little firmer, gee, you ask a lot of questions, don't you, about my, you know, personal time, my time out of the office. And sometimes that alone is enough to kind of send the signal, I don't want to go there.
I love those two answers you give. Both are very Franciscan, very gentle, very non-combative. does assertively get the message across. Those are brilliant, no doubt about it. Now, another question that I have to ask, because this is something I still deal with when I'm dealing with, quote unquote, somebody in leadership or someone's even intimidating. A lot of people like myself get a little bit nervous, you know, doing that. How do you coach people to approach these, quote unquote, VIPs?
Yes, I really struggled with this, particularly early in my career. And I am so passionate about helping people feel more confident in this area.
Thank you.
And one of the things I recommend is to make a point to interact with the person, not the power. So not Jenny, the chief marketing officer of a Fortune 50 company, right? Maybe you're having a networking coffee with this person, you know? But Jenny, the flesh and blood human being who is maybe a mom or a sister or a friend, who is a complete person, and speak to them a little bit more peer to peer. You can have a lot of respect for someone and not shrink yourself in the process. You know, you can be respectful without playing small. So I think that's an important way that we get our mindset right with intimidating types.
Oh. But
other things I like to do, if you're really feeling that way with someone, is kind of like picture them doing the ordinary. You know, picture them groggily getting up out of bed this morning and maybe wishing for 10 more minutes of sleep like you felt like, or, you know, multitasking and talking to a family member or something while they make breakfast. You know, you can even try this exercise called Just Like Me, where you come up with some actions that you have in common. You know, this person has wanted to make a good first impression, just like me.
Wow.
This person has felt intimidated around a bigwig, just like me. You know, this person has probably had moments, they were full of hope about a dream they had, just like me. It can help.
Absolutely. No, but they are human beings too, and they felt like we have felt. And wow, that's great advice. Now, you say people can learn a confidence secret or two from media training. What do you recommend in this area, please, Selena?
Yeah, well, whether it's a job interview or a get to know you type meeting, or maybe even a presentation you're giving and you're getting follow up questions. Just because you're asked one question doesn't mean you have to answer that exact question. And this is like the first thing they teach you in media training, but it sure does apply to a lot of things. And my point here is not to encourage people to be evasive, you know, duck questions and somehow not answer them. But there are times where someone's asking you a question and you can't add a lot of value there. Maybe you could add a lot of value to something slightly different, 20 degrees different. So one way you could pivot that is, let's just say somebody asked you, you know, Greg, we'd really like an update on the color green. You know, maybe you don't have a ton of value to add in that moment to that. You might say something like affirming their question. You might say, you know, the color green's really important. But what customers are really asking us about right now is the color purple. Let me tell you about the color purple and give you an update there. You see how you're not glossing over their question, you're acknowledging it, but you're pivoting in this thoughtful, purposeful way. I think that can give us a lot of confidence to remember we can steer any conversation.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That is brilliant. In the last minute or so we have, might you have a parting truth bomb to leave with the listeners and me this beautiful morning?
Yeah, you know, first you seem powerful in your eyes, then you seem powerful in other people's eyes. And just remember how important that encouraging, friendly energy is that you bring to yourself, to your everyday moments and interactions. It means more than you may ever realize.
Wow. That is a great, great way. We've saved the most important question for last, Selena. From where can our loyal listeners purchase Quick Confidence? How can they best follow you, please?
I would love for you to check out Quick Confidence. It is available everywhere books are sold, including Amazon and Barnes & Noble and lots of independent shops. And please follow me on social media. I am at Selena Rezvani, and I post 5 days a week leadership tips.
Oh, wow. Listeners, I want to make sure I give you the proper spelling of Selena Rezvani, SelenaRezvani. And I'm going to ask you a big, big favor, please. We've got a great Franciscan on the show today. She could have held on to the good. No, she shared the good in this great book. She spent the last 30 minutes with us this morning. Now it's your turn. Go out and buy at least one copy for yourself. It's still a season of graduations that have taken place, but we now have college graduates looking for work. This is a great gift. So please, please, one for yourself, at least one for someone else that you can give, because confidence today more than ever is critical. The last 30 minutes, I've learned so much about confidence and how to improve it. I'm sure you have as well. When you buy the book, you will learn so much more and give that good away to someone else as well. So please, please, please take full advantage. And as Selena said, follow her, get that wonderful writing she does on a daily basis. It'll change your life and it can change the world as well. Selena Rezvani, we can't thank you enough for coming on Thank God for Monday today. We've been, yes, enlightened. We've been much more inspired. Continued success, joy, happiness, and this great work you're doing right there in the Philadelphia area and literally around the world.
Thank you so much, Greg. I'm so excited about what you're offering the world. Workers need your message, so keep shining.
Thank you so very, very much. Listeners, guess what? Once again, we're out of time. Greg's saying our hope and prayer is that when you wake up on Monday morning, just like Selena does, you'll say, thank God for Monday. Until next week's episode, have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.